let's start by opening our Bibles to the book of James, chapter 1. I want to title my short teaching on the matter of prayer today as not doubting. Everybody say not doubting. Say it loud. All right. You know, as I was thinking, I realized that part of our problem is, as people, is trying to understand what was in the mind of the writer of the scriptures, which is why we began the School of Bible Exegesis that time. We have an interruption of it now because of our School of Prayer. All right? Now, what happens is that we don't realize what somebody is saying. So the Bible says, a man should not doubt. And we start trying to not doubt. I don't know whether I get my point. Sometimes we are not doubting, but we are still trying not to not doubt. So I just want to explain something about not doubting as part of the schemes of prayer, the things that we must put in mind when we are praying. I began that last week. If you remember last time we didn't pray much, I taught mostly. And I said I won't talk about how to make requests, you know, when you are praying to God for something. What faith means, let me say that before I read this scripture. Faith means that, no, let me put it like this. Faith is a part of life. I think I said that last time. Either you have faith or you don't have it. You don't conjure it up in a moment. Are you getting what I'm saying? You don't just walk around life without faith, and then suddenly when there's a problem, you say, wait, where's my faith? You can't bring it out from where you kept it. And if it is not there, you say, okay, I don't have enough. Now just wait, give me a second. I quickly go and get faith, call one or two people, text me faith. Faith is not a recharge card that somebody can just text to you or create to your phone. Either you have it or you don't have it. And your assignment as a believer is to build up your faith daily. Are you getting my point? You know, you must know the things that are important in life. Is that okay? If last year you had maybe total worth that, you know, material things, money that you have, everything, you put as maybe 1 million naira. And this year you have 3 million. You think you are not doing too badly. Or now you have 5 million. You think you are increasing. And the following year you buy a very nice ride and you build a nice house. Or even if you don't build it, move from a small apartment to a bigger one. You feel like you're doing well. All right? Now let me say to you clearly, that is what the Bible calls worldliness. See, we have to balance this thing very well. That's what the Bible calls what? Worldliness. When you are measuring your progress by material things, it's worldliness. Now, it doesn't mean that you will not prosper materially. That's not what we are saying. We are talking about where do you lay your emphasis? Do you understand? Now, God always bless the people that work with him materially. Is that okay? But you see, when he suspects or to be sure or to demonstrate that their material, their heart are not in the material things, he takes it away from them periodically. Do you understand what I'm saying? Now, and that's why Paul said, I have learned to be independent of circumstances. I have learned to abase and I have learned how to abound. Anyone? Now, what should I really assess my progress by? It is the degree of confidence that I have in God on a day-to-day basis. If last year, when I don't have money, I'm depressed, everybody will know. They will see it on my face as I walk out for road. Is it Pastor Banky Alpha now? Man, we're okay. Are you sure you're all right? Ah, thank God, God is good. Why? Because maybe you're supposed to pay Cosmo and you never pay. Or maybe it's not even Cosmo. You need something personally. But this year, the time comes that I'm probably, as an example, maybe owing Cosmo more, double what I owe them last year. Or something I need this today. I'm lacking it double what I lacked last year. But under the same circumstances, nobody knows anything. And I will know myself. I will know that, look, I don't seem to worry like I used to worry last year. Then that's when I know that I'm increasing. It is not that materially I have increased. Are you getting my point? That is, the Bible says, if you go and read Philippians chapter 1, Paul told the Philippians that it's important you learn to approve the things that are excellent. There are things that are more important than other things. Are you getting my point? You may discover that this year you have become more dependable. People have better things to say about relating with you. You know, the interesting thing, as a child of God, this one I know. If you have issues, God will let you know. What I mean is that, if you're a hot-tempered person, the Holy Spirit will tap you clearly and tell you, oh boy, you and temper, you will have problems. If you are impatient, you will know. If you are deceptive, you will know. If you lie, you will know. That's what it means to be a believer, that your spirit is alive. So things that are iniquity, that other people walk by and they don't have any issues, with you, it keeps on, you know, you notice it is there. You know, if you are a clean person, let's say you buy one very nice canali shirt, very, very beautiful, pure white. One tiny speck of dust will stand out. Because if you pay £200 for a shirt, you will dry clean away any dirt that comes near it. Are you getting what I'm saying? But if normally you're a dirty guy, do I need to explain further? No. Now, you won't notice anything. That's just the way it is with a believer. Having been washed by the blood of Jesus, having been purified, every speck of sin stands out. So how do I judge my faith? That judge my progress? That those things are getting cleaner. I mean, my life is getting cleaner. And the Holy Spirit will let you know. So that's what I'm trying to say. So I'm trying to emphasize something. For us as believers, our primary assignment is to build up our faith. Because, like I said, I used it to preach where I went to preach during the week. And I think I taught it here last Saturday or on Tuesday. That to the person who is of faith, his faith is reasonable. I don't know whether I get my point. It is just watching from outside that I think the man is being unreasonable. But to the man who's of faith, to him, the thing just makes sense. And how does it make sense? Paul said that he talked about the things that you have learned and have become convinced of. So there's a process of learning that builds up faith in your heart. Please, I hope you are following what I'm saying. As a believer, you must constantly learn. You get to know God both by reading, by meditating in prayer, by being present where the word of God is being taught, and by the experiences of life that God will allow you to go through and manifest himself in your life. Are you getting my point? Now, as this is going on, your faith is increasing. And then you become confident in certain matters. I'm bringing an issue. So that I want to read something here. So when you are praying and you say you are praying in faith, it's not like you are trying to believe. I don't know whether you get what I'm saying. That is for you at that point, what you are asking God for. So it's just a natural thing that I should ask God for it, and I expect that he will do it. Not because I'm trying to persuade him by the strength of my faith to do it, but because I'm just so certain that he's going to do something about it. So, you know, the way a lot of us think about faith or we're taught about it is as if it's a commodity I trade with God. Say, God, see my faith. He rich. How much faith are you charging for that thing I want? And God will look and say, I need about 7 measures. So you go check. This one will be like 3.5. May I owe you, God? Hold this 3.5 and they come. That's the way we treat it. So we're always trying to get something to give to God. But that's not what it is. It's just something that you are. Are you getting what I'm going to explain? Very good illustration. When my wife wasn't around for, well, almost a month, my son will come. Like, I try to make them happy when their mother was away, my kids. So occasionally, in fact, a lot of times, since my wife came back, they have not experienced that once with me, maybe with their mother. I said, okay, today, everybody, we're going to buy ice cream. So toss the kids into the car and drive down to one supermarket. So if we come down here, my son was already noticed that, he said, Daddy, that DVD, it contains, you'll be reeling out the cartoons that he saw on it. That, can I have it? I said, listen, baby, I told you we're coming to buy ice cream. And now we have bought ice creams. Everybody back into the car. We ain't buying any DVD. So you know what he'll say? All right, no problem. Can I have your phone? I said, for what? I want to phone mommy to tell her that when she comes back, she will buy me the DVD. And one day I was calling my wife and he was there. But I gave him the phone. He said, mommy, there's this DVD they have in the supermarket. Starts describing it. And to him, you take it for granted. See, this guy doesn't buy DVDs. No trouble. But when mommy comes, I shall have my DVD. I don't know whether you follow what I'm going to explain. He wasn't trying to pay with his faith, so you might have DVD. But just know that since this nigga won't buy DVDs, I know who to ask for my DVD. You are getting what I'm explaining? That is, the faith in his mom has been built from experience. She's the one that buys DVDs, that he will just buy the books, or he wants a comic. It's not stuff like that. Please, you are following what I'm saying? So that's what it is with us as believers. We're just to build up our relationship with God so that asking for things become what? Natural. You understand? Settle. I do that a lot. I have issues. Some things are troubling me. I just said my wife, this is of my, I'll pray about it later. I'll pray about it later means that, okay, when I settle my mind down, I will now pray about this. And I expect that is the settling of the problem. Please, am I saying anything? I hope you're following me. All right, so please bear that one in mind. So your job as a believer is to constantly build up your faith. Very, very important. Now, please, James chapter 1. Now, let's read from, where I'm going is verse 8, but as usual, I like to read in context. Let's read from verse 2. Yeah, it's good. Everybody better sit on this side, because now there's the AC, they on. The AC on this side is not on. It said, consider it all joy, my brethren, when you encounter various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces endurance, And endurance has its perfect result. And let endurance have its perfect result, so that you may be perfect and complete, lacking in nothing. But if any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all men generously and without reproach. This is where I'm going, really. The issue of asking God. You know, we began last week talking about how to make our personal requests for specific matters before God, and it will be given to him. He said, but let him ask in faith, without any doubting, for the one who doubts is like the surf of the sea, driven and tossed by the wind. For let not that man expect that he will receive anything from the Lord, being a double-minded man, unstable in all his ways. Please, let me read that scripture again, just to emphasize it. That is, he said, a man should ask in faith without doubting. I said, I'm talking about not doubting. He said, anyone who doubts is like the surf of the sea, driven and tossed by the wind. For that man should not expect that he will receive anything from the Lord. The reason is because he's a double-minded man, unstable in all his ways. I want to bring to us today, all right, another phase, a phase of doubt that we don't talk about a lot. Although I've been alluding to it here and then the last few weeks, about when we're asking God for things. When we began to talk about this, we read from the book of, that's further down in James, when James said that in verse 4, chapter 4, that you have not because you don't ask, and when you ask, it's because your motive for asking is wrong. And we described the right motive for asking, that he talked about worldliness. Worldliness is when you are asking for things because of, you know, a competitive spirit. You want to achieve things because everybody else is achieving it. You are not achieving, you are not trying to get those things for righteous reasons. And let me say it to you again. With God, to want something because you enjoy it is righteous. It's not an evil thing. Are you getting my point? Christianity is not being, what do you call it now? It doesn't mean you must love pain. I read the story of one, I think it was a regional book, and it was describing one old church, all right, in a big castle, you know, the type they have in England. They have a chapel inside the big compound. And that's the only place in the whole mansion that didn't have a heater or a heating place, you know. They have this fireplace where you burn and it. And you know, Europe is very cold. So how come they don't have a fireplace here? So this is where you serve God. That is, the rest of the house can be warm and cozy. But when you want to go and worship, you enter into cold and punishment and harassment and affliction. Listen, that's not Christianity. I've said it before, that's Eastern religion. All right? That's religion that believe in mortification of the body, punishing the flesh so as to attain righteousness. God doesn't, he's only confused people that do that as far as he's concerned. That's not Christianity. Christianity doesn't say that you must enjoy difficulty. What he said is, you what? Endure them. And you see, and he said you can rejoice in the midst of your affliction. If affliction was not afflicting, the word affliction would have been withdrawn from the scripture. But a man who's been afflicted is feeling the pain. That's why the name is retained as affliction. Are you getting my point? And that's why I will tell you to count it joy when you enter into pain, because he knows that pain is painful. Are you getting what I'm saying? Uh-huh. Now, I'm trying to make an issue here. So when we are talking about asking righteously, it's not just that, God, I'm asking because I want to preach the gospel. You know, people have lied to God a lot of times. He said, God, please, I've heard this one. Lord, if I can get that job now, you know they are paying so much. Imagine how much I will give. My God said, look at you. You think I'm a child there? Yeah? All right. I am not giving you the job. Let's see whether the church will lack. Whether my work will not go forward. Are you getting my point? Listen, if you like something, just say you like it. It's not a sin. Like, you know, I've told you a lot of times. This is banking for you. I hate short cars. It's just, no matter how fast it is, if the car is short, I don't like it. The one that you sit down as if you are sitting on the road. This is, you know, since sports cars, you think you are sitting on the road. And a Ferrari, you need to learn how to drive sleeping to drive a Ferrari. You know, I read the analysis of it, you know. You enter into the car, the seat leans back so much, it's as if you are lying down to drive. That's to maintain its center of gravity when it's taking calls, because these are cars that are hyper fast and they're expensive. They are more expensive than luxury cars. You buy a good sports car, maybe $300,000. By the time you spend $100,000 on a luxury car, you are driving a powerful S-Class. Are you getting my point? What I'm trying to explain, with all of that, I don't like sports cars. Why? It's just me. It's not bad. It's just that I don't know where I should lie down to drive. Now, are you getting what I'm trying to explain here? Uh-huh. So, there are things people like, and some people don't like some other things. And God knows what I like. So, the fact that I like something with God is a valid reason for making requests. Please, I hope you are getting what I'm trying to explain. I'm not buying a big car if I have money because I want to preach the gospel. When I didn't have, I was preaching the gospel. I've taken bike to go and preach the gospel. Taken bus to go and preach the gospel. Driven old cars to preach the gospel. So the day I tell God, give me the fastest, most fantastic, large, it's just personal. It has nothing to do with preaching the gospel. I don't know why I'm even saying this, but I hope you are following what I'm going to explain. So we're talking about right motive. Now here, he now talked about where we are reading right now, about not doubting. Like I said, that's what I want to explain to us. Not doubting, there are two sides to it. The one that we have all learned about is that I want to be sure that God can do it, so that I close my eyes and say, God, I will not doubt you. Listen, there are two sides to that, I said. That is one side. The second thing about doubting is doubting yourself. That's what I want to talk about today. And while meditating, I think that as much emphasis is laid on both of them. You understand my point? One is as important as far as God is concerned as the other. And in fact, here, where James is talking about here, my persuasion is that he is talking about this other kind of doubt. That let him ask in faith without any doubting. Now, that faith and that doubting, they are not talking about the same thing. I don't have time to explain it. It's not as if saying, let him ask in faith without not having faith. It's like, let him ask in faith, that's one thing. Secondly, being sure of what he really wants. That's what I want to bring out. That doubting is about whether the man is sure of what he really wants. I need to emphasize that one to us today. That's why, be careful. You know, the Bible says that watch your steps when you are approaching the temple of God. Are you getting my point? What do I mean by doubting? A man watches TV today, or a young woman watches TV, and sees Genevieve perform. Immediately after that, they show her Jennifer Lopez. And say, my God. And then when they say, ask God for anything, dear Lord, I shall be a star actress. And God just look, you say, okay. The next day, you see Serena Williams playing lawn tennis and winning and becoming number one. Ask God for anything. Say, dear Lord, forget the actress matter. I think this is a better job. About God say, hey, what are you going to do? No, well, then you now hear that for the first time, 2009, one woman won Nobel Prize for economics, sharing with an American. He said, Lord, I think this academics is good, though. Forget the other thing. So I think I want to win a Nobel Prize. In what area? We'll talk about it later. Just reserve one Nobel Prize first. That is what the Bible calls what? Double, in this case, triple-mindedness. That's double-mindedness. Not knowing exactly what you really want. What I'm saying is very important. Because, you see, at least God has given me that, maybe as a result of years of training, maturing in certain areas. Over the last many years, my wife can go on home and think about it. Ask Banky to think about what he really like to do. My requests haven't changed. I have never prayed to God for a sports car. Ask her. Now, I'm giving that one as an example. I can admire it. I can look at it. We can discuss it. I can tell you things about it. I can watch National Geographic or Discovery as they're analyzing the manufacturing and marvel at it. Say, will you like one? If Baba goes, will you like one? The way I shake my head in response to his request, he doesn't even bother asking me anymore. He won't just bother. Why? Because I know what I really want. Talk about life also. The thing I really want, I don't think I've changed my request about it for years. I don't think so. Are you getting what I'm saying? And those are the things that persuade me that are bad. There's not one of them. It's what the word of God says. If without doubting, not changing your mind today, say, Lord, where would we like to live? I think I'd like to live in America. And then the next day, say, no, Lord, I don't like America again. I think I hear that money is in Port Harcourt. No, I don't think Port Harcourt is good. This South Africa people are going to is a good place. That's what the Bible calls double-mindedness. I want to just add that one to what we discussed last time. Because I said something to you, the power of the prayer of a believer is very, very, very high. Your prayer before God is very, very powerful. If indeed you approach God with conviction concerning what you are asking him for, hear me, there is nothing that he will not grant. Of course, I started by explaining the fact that you are growing in faith. Do you understand my point? And certain things are implicit in certain statements. Is that okay? That is, God didn't say, go and ask for the head of your neighbor. Do you get what I'm saying? He's talking to people that have the love of God in their hearts. And within that framework, anything they ask for that they are persuaded about. I'm talking today about that word doubting. Yes, you shouldn't doubt the ability of God. That's the growth in your faith. But again, you have to settle inside yourself. You know, Jesus told his people at the time that there's a problem with your request. He said, well, you don't even know what you're asking for. You have to take them through a few steps of arriving at a particular point. A lot of us, that's the problem we have with having answers to our prayers. We don't know exactly what we're asking for. Are you getting my point? And you see, that's why you should be informed as a person. And please, don't ever be impulsive as a believer. As a human being generally. Especially as a Christian, that you must have fruit in your life. You must not be impulsive. If they tell you make a decision, take time to think about it. That's why when we're talking about co-workers forum, I said, look, every co-worker must make up his mind. There's a spiritual principle behind it. You must give regularly to the work. What did I now say? Everybody, take a piece of paper and go home. Because listen, if I'm a preacher and I'm anointed, believe me, I am anointed. Did I hear an amen? Mm-hmm. If I preach powerfully, you will commit to give me your first 2 years salary if you are not earning yet. It's called turning your stones to bread. A lot of preachers do it. Right now, connect. Right now, on the spot. Say, God, you see all those ones there. In fact, Kenneth Hagin has a rule. If the anointing is moving powerfully, he never takes an offering. He said, people will do things that they can't do. RB time, a man I read a lot of his material, not a very well-known preacher. He said the same thing. A lot of preachers ride on the emotions of the people. What's this one's name? Brother Andrew. He said once he went to America and he said, come and share the testimony of what God is doing in your ministry. How he used to take Bibles to communist countries. Once in one particular church, he finished sharing his testimony. People were so moved. Some people were shedding tears. But my special of the power of God in his ministry. So the pastor took the microphone and to amazement, the pastor said, all right, right now, you know, we need money to cover our chairs. Let's quickly give the offering for the covering of our chairs. Did you hear that? They need to recover the chair in the auditorium. So when everybody was moved by the testimony, oh yeah, quickly, ushers, moving, read them. Now, I'm trying to explain something. I believe you should not be impulsive, all right? And the Bible says that don't be hasty to bring a matter up before the Lord. You know, that's what he said. He said, don't be hasty. It's settle in your mind what you really want. And that will take time, considering many things. At the end of the day, you settle, dear Lord. And then, like I always say, I said it last time, let me say it again. We have been taught that you will give God all the details. I said, I have discovered personally that it only generates doubt. Are you getting what I'm saying? What did I say? It only generates what? Doubt. How does it generate doubt? When you give too many details, you end up giving details about things you don't know about. You tell a woman, you need a car. I say, yes, pray the Lord for the car. Say, okay, have a picture. Tell God the size of the engine. How many women do you know that know the different size of an engine? If you say the car has a 2.5 liter engine, you know, she looks at the size of the car and says, this thing looks bigger than 2.5 liters. this engine. She looks at the jug of a juice she bought, puts beside the engine. He said, this gallon is, this one is 4 liters. The whole engine, they say, is 2.5. It's like 10 times the size of this gallon. That's a woman. A lot of guys say they don't have an idea. But the men may not know how you calculate the 2.5 liters. But one thing they know most of the time is that what it translates to that a 1.5 liter engine is a Suzuki that's running around Enugu right now, calling themselves taxis. You know those ones? It can't move fast. They know. So when you now tell somebody who doesn't know anything to specify, tell God. There are some people, color doesn't mean anything to them. Whether the car is yellow, pink, red, turquoise, beige, puce, more women color. You know that's the color they only hear from women. It makes no difference. You not tell the person, so, tell God the very color you want. Listen, if you don't know the color, tell dear Lord. Say, dear Lord, I don't know the color. Anyone is okay by me. In fact, dear Lord, you know me more than I know myself. So give me the color that will match me better. No, really. Please, I hope you are getting one on the explain. I just want to explain that thing about doubt. I feel like dispensing of it today. Doubt is not just about doubting God. Doubt is also about what? Doubting yourself. Not being sure of exactly what you want to achieve. And that's why purpose, the knowledge of purpose is very important. Look, several times I've played with myself thinking about if God will do something for me and all of that. Because of decisions I made more than 10 years ago, which I began to take steps concerning about 10 years ago, I already know if God were to say, ask me for anything, I know what I will ask for. It doesn't include a skyscraper. I'm not doing anything with a skyscraper. You get my point? It does not include a holiday in Hawaii. I don't know why people, go to lie on the beach. The only time I went to a beach in my life that I remember, As we arrived, my friends went to put leg in the water. I went into a shed, brought out a Bible, and began to read. Is it bad? No, it's not bad. Do you follow my point? I appreciate the idle time rather than the sight. Do you get the point I'm trying to explain? But there are things that I've discovered over time. They are very important to me. For example, concerning ministry. I know the kind of thing I want concerning ministry. People pray that God give me a very big church. Years ago, I went to a church of a man I loved so much. The church was growing big. And I told somebody, I wouldn't want to run this kind of ministry. What's wrong with it? Nothing. It's just not the kind of thing I want to do. But I would like to teach, all right, on the air, on TV, international TV, you know, satellite, and have the gospel being taught, all right? 24 hours, if they will air me 24 hours, I will be glad with it. I would like that very much. But to appear, and the congregation is shouting, yeah, but board on land, you know. It kind of doesn't move me, really. It doesn't entice me. You know, I don't take joy in seeing 50,000 people gather to the left and to the right. Nothing wrong with it. Please, I hope you are getting what I'm explaining. Nothing wrong with it. So I've never asked God for something like that. Never, never, ever. If I pray, if I ask, if I want to pray, you know, when we're talking about ministry matters, if in prayer, what I pray more about is, God, I need time to write more books. Let the books go out, the CDs and all of that, because of the knowledge of purpose. In the same manner, if you know exactly what you want to do, because sometimes God leads in a particular direction, and the next thing he wants to do, he demands that you ask for it. And we read the scripture like that last time. This is what I would like to do for the children of Israel. I will have them ask me for it. So not doubting is not just about not doubting God. Are you getting my point? But asking yourself, what really do I want? And you cannot be firm in that except it's based on a solid base. I hope you are getting my point. It's sometimes we think that Christianity or life is about just making up your mind to not doubt. Listen, if your request does not have a firm foundation, you will doubt. Do you get what I'm explaining? There have been suits that my wife said I should wear that it looks nice, and I refuse that I don't like it. And she kept it there anyway. Then I'll go out, see one man wearing the same suit, and it is looking like, yay! And I'll run back home and say, where's that jacket again? Instantly, I wear it next time, I think, because when you say, why don't you like it? Maybe I don't like it because it has two buttons, or it has one, or it has four. That's just, you know, I just give one reason. Which is not firm. It's not the scripture. It's not the word of God. So it can change tomorrow. Do you follow what I'm going to explain? Do you understand the point I'm making? Why do you don't like this? Why do you like it? I can tell you I don't like something. The next day you ask me, after I liking it. Why? Because my dislike for it was not based on principle. It was not based on a solid foundation. But on ministry matter, like I was saying earlier, but it's based on understanding. It's based on purpose. So actually that has formed what I like and what I don't like. So when we are making requests before God, listen, God answers prayers. That's what I'm going to explain. He does. He actually does. He actually does. Which kind of husband would you like to marry? Maybe in your mind, you're asking for Denzel Washington. Do you understand my point? Listen, after a year, you ask for Tom Cruise. Are you getting what I'm saying? But if you had a purpose in mind, that's the reason why, like I told you, where I went to preach yesterday on Sunday, people had a very good laugh. I started it from the Redeemed Church. I said, a woman was saying that, God, I want a husband that can take care of me. I said, God doesn't answer such question, request. He doesn't. Because nobody was created to take care of you. You're not an assignment in life that God give me a husband that can take care of me. You're not an assignment in life. You are not born a liability that a man should look to carry. But which man will I be able to unite with and bring forth God's purpose on the earth? Because now we are talking. This one that you turn yourself into a project. Which man will take me as a project in life to make me happy? You think I created a woman to make only you happy? Why? The Lord is good. So I'm talking about your request will be firm only if it's based on what? A proper foundation. A proper foundation. And once you have that foundation, you will discover if they ask you 10 years afterward, what really will you like? That thing rises up again. And you discover, you know, like I always say, Verdi said that when he talked about telling the truth. He said, tell the truth and you don't have to remember what he said. Are you getting what I'm saying? Tell the truth and you don't have to remember what he said. And if they ask you again, you will say the same thing because the truth does not vary. It's when you are lying and say, what did I say last time? He said, don't worry, just say it again. Did I tell you he was there or he was not there? You are getting the principle. Please, I hope you understand what I've said today. All right, that's just one thing I want to add to what we said last time, and then we can leave that matter. And then we'll just pray about that for another few minutes, all right? Okay, maybe at the end, all right? We'll add everything together. So that will be the first thing that we'll pray about. And then, okay, we're already at the end, actually. That's the end of the teaching. We're about to start praying now. All right, so, okay, I just feel like, no, let's forget it. What I mean, it's a principle I want to add to what we learned before. We don't have to go in a course of prayer about that. Do you understand my point? All right, the Lord is good. I said the Lord is good. Did you understand everything I said? I hope you did. That's the other phase of doubting that I want us to get rid of from our hearts. Amen. All right, now let's take the main thing I said we'll do today. That was just to conclude what we began last time. I just feel very strongly that we should pray. We did this 2 weeks ago. Today, while I was meditating, my mind went back to it, and I feel like we haven't finished with it yet. That's praying concerning security, especially personal security, and then pray for security in our community, our state, and in our nation. You know, it's very, very important. The thing is on my mind, and I was just thinking, today I was telling my wife that, look, like play, we have quite some testimonies which I will just share with us briefly, so that you know that indeed God is watching over you, all right? Let me explain what I'm saying. God is watching over you. Your life is not an accident. Let me start from that. I want to go into that teaching now. I'll do that for a few minutes, then we'll start praying. Listen, God is watching over you. Did I hear an amen? The very hair, all right, on your head, every strand is numbered. It's with the approval that God allows the Bible to cut it. All right? I'm telling you, every strand is numbered. God knows his hair on your head. Therefore, he knows the path of your life also. Is that okay? Listen, what is important for us believers is that we are always walking in the will of God. Let me summarize it like that. That we're always walking in a manner that is pleasing to God. That's all. Because it's when we take ourselves from that place that we expose ourselves to the hand of the devil. Listen, and when we do that chronically, all right, after a while, God, don't let me go into explaining this, but sometimes God just allows things to go wrong just to wake us up to reality again. Do you get what I'm going to explain? It is important we walk in faith in a manner pleasing to God at all times. What I'm saying so is this. The Bible recognizes something, that you will hear bad news. What it promises that it will not come near you. Are you getting what I'm explaining? Let me tell you a number of testimonies which I said will help you to just step up our faith. And there are people that all of us know here on what I call them, what we call near misses. But listen, near miss is not clues. If they fire a bullet and it whizzes past your ears and kills somebody behind you, it's not, humanly speaking, it's a near miss. All right? It just narrowly missed you. But spiritually, that bullet may swear have been fired in America for the distance. You are getting what I'm going to explain. Yes, so really, there's nothing like near, spiritually speaking. On the surface, it may appear like that. But God is actually watching. And if you are not ordained for death, you will not die. If your words, the words of people praying for you, the power of the sacrifice of Jesus is over your head, these three things are put together, you will not die before your time. Did I hear an amen? That's just the way God has ordained it. Is that all right? You know, one day I was driving, and I saw, I don't know, those of you drive very well, there was a gutter on one side, and there was a pothole. And I put my tire, like, between the pothole and the gutter, and went. I was carrying my uncle's wife. This was many years ago. And I said, dog, that was close. He said, you know, she shouted when she saw me heading for the gutter. And the next thing I passed, I said, what was the shout about? He said, that was close. I remember what I said in my mind. I didn't tell her. I said, auntie, if you sabi, it's not close. That is, if you know how to do this thing, that was not close. Are you getting what I'm trying to explain? So, I'm trying to bring out something. Your life is not an accident. Even if you see narrow misses, it's a sign that God actually is watching over you. I want to give three testimonies of people that we know so that when you are hearing bad news, don't be afraid. I told this story before. Many of us know Jennifer. When she was in town, she was always here with us. All right? Once she was going to Abuja, and she went to enter a bus. Where did we enter? But Holy Ghost, that area. And the bike that was taking her to the park overshot where he told the guy to stop. Stop here. The man decided not to hear. Stop here now. The man decided not to hear. And went and stopped somewhere else. And she was angry. Quarreled, and the man was apologizing. And then said, okay, just take this other bus. And instead of entering that one, let me make a long story short. The bus she wanted to enter ran into a tanker at Lokoja. And while she watched, everybody inside the vehicle, maybe minus the driver or somebody, burnt to death. While she watched. Because when she came back, she came to tell me the story. Second story, Udechukwu told me a story. She said, was it Kenyatta? That some boys had to go and rob a man who brought money to his shop or something. And when they came out, they started shooting. He was standing there. Then the man beside him said, they just shot me. And then the man fell down. Was that what he told me? And the man was standing right next to him. They said that when they shoot you, it feels like you were punched. I've heard that story. After some time, you just realize that punch is making you bleed and getting weak. And then you fall down. All right? You heard of the calamity that happened between here and Onitsha about 5 days ago. Is it 5 days or 6 days ago? On Friday. Okay, well, this Friday. That was about 4 days ago, right? Of which a tanker flipped over, carrying fuel, caught fire, and killed, the estimate is between 50 and 70 people. All right? Now, that's a lot of human lives. Israel said he was in one of four buses that left Onitsha South Park at the same time. The two of them in front. The first one, everybody smoked. The driver and one person were the only ones who escaped from the second one. He happened to be in one of the other two. Of course, he ran for dear life, thank the good Lord. But he came to Enugu alive and well. He came to Enugu like maybe 5 hours late, but at least he got here in one piece. I thought about that today. Alright, that people that I know, and it's a sign that God is watching over the lives of every one of us. Alright? And I pray that nobody that I teach the word of God and imbibe the truth that I preach, even if it's on radio. Listen, this is my prayer. Those words will protect your lives in the name of Jesus Christ. Listen, because they are words of purpose. God said, if I speak, the word must not return to me void until it has accomplished. So anyone that grabs the word is not able to return until he has accomplished. Therefore, you will not die in the name of Jesus Christ. You will live. That's what I'm saying. You will live to old age. You will fulfill the purpose of God in your generation in the name of Jesus Christ. That's God's plan. I also do stories to let you know that, look, now, that's why I built it up by saying that accident, spiritually, they are not even near clues. All right? And I don't want us to give in to fear. I remember Pastor Aremu of Winners Chapel, Bishop Aremu now. Once I was in school of ministry and he was preaching. And he was talking about how to minister, talking about church growth and how to minister with the word of God. That's what is feeding the sheep that makes other sheep come. So he said, when he went to Ibadan, to go and start winners in Ibadan, one man was in poverty. What did I say? Poverty. You know why? Because of fear. His family was in Ibadan. His business was in Lagos, which is a very wise thing to do anyway. But one day his wife, I don't know how he and his wife arrived in one white garment church. And when you see a white garment prophet, and you see the devil on the side, you shake the hand of the devil, you are safer. Because at least you know he's the devil, so you are watching. But when you see a man who listens to familiar spirits, and spirits that mutter, that don't know the will of God, you will be in bondage. I've seen them several times. So they prophesied, blood, blood, blood. They see blood flowing. Where is it flowing? From his body on the road to Lagos, on the Lagos-Ibadan Express Road. So what's the man supposed to do? Not to go to Lagos again. Of course. You know, when one demon of deception opens the door, other demons will enter. Demon of poverty say, oh, well, thanks for this new house. The demon of lack and poverty saw that the man had given in to the demon of fear. Therefore, he came to his house, wasted everything he had. There was no business in Ibadan. All the business that he was supposed to do, they were all in Lagos. What would the man do? He can't go to Lagos. Because prophet said, if you enter that road, you're on your own. So one day, somebody saw him in his calamity. Say, oh boy, what did they happen now? No money. Why business? No business. Why is there no business? No road. Why is there no road? Summary, no faith. Why is there no faith? This man took away my faith. He said, I will die if I go on that road. Guys, don't worry. Follow me to another man who will give you back your faith. So when they told Thomas Aremu the story, the man laughed. So somebody said, you shouldn't go. He said, all right, come on. Hear ye the word of the Lord. Go. Nothing could do you. Of course, the man went, and that word liberated him. What am I going to say? Fear kept him in poverty. Once faith was released in his heart, the man returned to prosperity. And we're hearing the story later because nothing happened to him. Nothing. Nothing shall by any means hurt you. Did I hear an amen? Amen? The Lord will be with you in your going out and in your coming in. Did I hear amen? Amen? The man, God was with him and he returned into prosperity. What am I saying? That's what fear does. It cripples you. I remember then I wanted to buy a car and God did it. I had money to buy what we call V-boot. All right? Tokumbo 300E. They say, thieves love the car. I said, that makes two of us. Thieves like it. Me too, I like it. A thief can buy his own and drive. I will buy my own and drive it. What they mean is that arm robbers like to collect V-boot. I said, there are many in town. You can't collect another one. This one, they will not see. And the Lord was so good, they never saw it. But I hope you are getting what I'm going to explain. That's what fear does. We saw a man the other day. Hey! He was describing... Now, he drives one bungalow car like this. The kind of car you would... I don't like to drive. If it is money, I know he has it. How do I know? He bought a big one. So my wife and I said, okay, why don't you just drive your car? I've told him several times anyway. He said, you want the boys to be chasing me about? If I feel like that, okay, I don't know what's wrong with your problem because your car is not one of the finest in this town. No. So why did you buy it now? Occasionally he can go out here. No. That's what fear does to people. It takes away You know, God gives you the ability to enjoy. Then fear takes away that enjoyment from you. What am I saying? If you need to go to nature, go. The demon of death that was on the road didn't come looking for you. Are you getting my point? You are a child of God. You are redeemed by the blood of Jesus. If you have to go, go. They won't kidnap you. Did I hear an amen? You will go, you will be safe. God will be with you in your going out and in your coming in. The Lord will guard you. The sun will not smite you by day, nor the moon by night. The Lord will protect your going out and your coming in from these days, from today and forevermore, in the name of Jesus Christ. Don't let devil take business away from you and enjoyment away from your mouth because of fear. Ah, no. Father God, I thank you. It won't happen to me. Because of your grace, it will not happen to me. I will lift my eyes only, put them on you alone. He said, I will say of the Lord, he's what? He's my refuge, my fortress. In him, I will trust. Listen, when that man was saying that, it was because there were reasons to be afraid. What am I teaching us today? That's how we pray about our protection. What do we say all the time of the Lord? Are you getting my point? All right, so let's rise to our feet, okay? I think we're doing good time. And I'd like us to just take that prayer. I want us to walk in confidence. Remember that our original prayer, that's one we're going to use today again. But our emphasis today is on divine protection. I want you to understand that the plagues, the diseases, everything that's running up and down, they were not designed for you. You have been, everybody just put up your hand. One hand or two, whichever one you like. Declare, say, in the name of Jesus Christ, I have been redeemed. I have been washed. I have been redeemed. I have been washed. Say, the plagues of life were not meant for me. Because I have been redeemed. And I have been washed. It says, Satan, look at me. You can't do anything to me. Because I have been redeemed and I have been washed by the precious blood of Jesus Christ. By the precious blood of Jesus Christ, my sins are forgiven. Therefore, you have no part in me. I am free in the name of Jesus Christ. Say, demon of death, you can't get me. Because I have been washed, I have been redeemed, and I am safe. I am hidden in Christ, in God. Amen. All right, let's just shout this. I said, the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. I am not afraid of economic downturn. I follow after righteousness. I want you to say like you believe it too, all right? And all things are added to me. Say, the Lord is with me. Now I want you to declare, he makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He restores my soul. Say, for this reason, I am of a sound mind. I am not confused because he restores my soul. Say, he guides me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. My steps are ordered by the Lord. I am led by his spirit. I know and I obey the will of God. Say, my steps are ordered away from disaster. Even though I pass through the scene of disaster, it will not hurt me. Say, 1,000 may fall by my side and 10,000 at my right hand, but in Christ Jesus I am safe. Say, the angel of the Lord, they encamp around me, and they deliver me. Greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. Say, the redemptive power of Christ in me is greater than the power of death. The angels of God that are guarding me are more than all the demons of hell. In Christ Jesus, I am saved. Say, even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I fear no evil, for the Lord is with me. Say, his rod and his staff, they comfort me. He prepares a table before me in the presence of my enemies. He has anointed my head with oil, and my life is not an accident. I have the divine enablement to fulfill my purpose in life. And I will not die young. Because he has anointed my head with oil. Say, I have all that I need to do everything that God wants me to do. All my needs are supplied. I have enough to meet today's needs. I want to declare it loudly. Surely goodness and loving kindness will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Say it loud. The Lord has turned to me and is gracious to me. Even though I was lonely and afflicted. Even though the troubles of my heart were enlarged. He brought me out of my distresses. He looked upon my affliction and my troubles. And forgave all my sins. Because I believed in the Lord Jesus Christ. Listen to this and declare it loud. Even though my enemies are many. And the troubles of life increased. Even though there be many who hate me with violent hatred. Say, yet the Lord does guard my soul and delivers me. Yet the Lord does guard my soul and delivers me. For I take refuge in God alone. Say, in integrity and uprightness I shall be preserved. Say, the Lord will never disappoint me. Because I constantly wait for him. Say, the Lord will redeem me out of all troubles. In the name of Jesus Christ. I want you to declare this. Say, I consecrate and declare as follows. Say, like, say, I consecrate my life and I declare as follows. I do not sit with deceitful men. I do not sit with deceitful men. Nor do I go with pretenders. Declare, I hate the assembly of evildoers. And I will not sit with the wicked. Say, I shall wash my hands in innocence. And do the will of God at all times. I shall do the things that are pleasing in his sight. And walk away from wicked ways. Say, Lord, I shall lay my life before you at all times. And constantly confess my shortcomings to you. Now that is important because these are the things that open the door for the devil in our lives. So we must do this constantly. Everything that is inside you that you find that is negative, you confess it. It's not like you try to change. No. You just, God said, only acknowledge your iniquity. Once you confess it, then the Spirit of God comes in to change you. Are you getting what I'm trying to explain? That's why the prayer of consecration is very important. It's not about trying to change. It's about acknowledging, and then God will work in you so that you will not only change outwardly, but you will change in the things that you want to do. Are you getting my point? I inserted that in there because it's very crucial. That's the only thing that opens the door to the devil in our lives. You know, a friend of mine was talking to me today about the things he wants to help some men of God, you know, health-wise. And I said, why? What informs this? He said, he's seen too many men of God die suddenly. In my mind, yeah. This is trouble. Alright? But I felt like telling the guy, it's not about health. It's good. Maybe that's how God wants to manifest the help he's bringing for them. It's not about checking blood pressure and all of that. No. It's about the will of God. Are you getting my point? We open our hearts to the devil at all times. Then he enters and ruins our life. Now be blaming the devil. It's not the devil. That's why this is so important, that prayer. That's how men will be praying. I want to marry from my village. I can marry from anywhere. I could have, alright? But I'm so thankful that God did not allow me to marry from myself. It's not because it's bad. Just because it makes it easier for me to say some things. And anytime I tell people that, you know my brother got married. And I say, hey, in Enugu, I say, yes. Where's the wife from? He must say, the open mouth. I was close that mouth, my friend. You never hear of that kind of thing before. As if he did something so out of. Like I always tell people, either we are Christians or we are not. We have to make up our minds. We're doing things that open the door for the devil like this. Just that the devil will say, my friend, you have come. Listen, though, I feel like telling you that, my friend. Bros, it's not about checking blood pressure. God is particularly harsh with ministers. If I want to sin, and it's just between me and my wife, it's all right. But if I mount this pulpit and lead everybody in that path, God will, Vanky, shut up. Shut up once, shut up twice. You go slap you first time, you don't shut up. Slap you second time, you don't shut up. Third time, you cut the head. So why did you do that? He said, look, he has sinned. I left him alone. Then he now gathered the thousands of people listening to him. And he's leading everybody into the pit. Abba, I have nothing. I'm not angry with him. I just love the people he's leading astray. If you read the story of William Marion Braham, can I even tell you that 5 years before he died, God told him that I am removing this man at the end of 65. Why? The single reason. He's leading the body of Christ astray. If you see any preacher that's yearning nonsense, pray for him. Pray for him. If you talk rubbish alone, you will live long. If you talk rubbish publicly and you're a non-entity, you can still live long. But if you talk rubbish, when men are listening to you, when women are shaping their lives by the things that you are saying, bros, if you are a preacher's wife, be praying that God, may my husband go deaf and dumb if he starts talking nonsense. And cripple his fingers too, lest he starts writing. Because at least with that one, we still have him around. Because if he opens and he will keep talking rubbish, about God will call you and say, see that your boyfriend, I want to kill him. Don't worry, I will find another husband after he has died. You get what I'm saying? That's why I put this prayer in. As we're declaring the word of God, let's remember. He said, the Lord is my shepherd. That's the reason why every other thing is there. So when I declare the Lord is my shepherd, what it means, go and read out my tract, the Lord is my shepherd. I explained it there. What it means is that I follow the will of God. I follow the plan of God in everything that I do. Then I declare everything else boldly. Let's take that again, and then we'll go to the next thing. Say, I consecrate and declare as follows. I'll make it short. I do not sit with deceitful men, nor will I go with pretenders. Say, I hate the assembly of evildoers. Say, I shall wash my hands in innocence. Very important. Now, let's declare it loud. Say, the Lord is my light and my salvation. The Lord is my deliverer and my security. I shall not be afraid of anything. The Lord is the defense of my life. There's nothing big enough to scare me. Say, when evildoers come up against me, my adversaries and my enemies, when they rise up against me, they will always stumble and they will always fall. He said, though a host encamp against me, my heart will not be afraid. He said, though wars rise against me, wars of sickness and wars of death, in spite of these, I shall be confident. He said, though the war of financial adversity and economic doom rise against me, in spite of these, I shall be confident. Though the war of envies and jealousies rise up against me, in spite of this, I shall be confident. In spite of any kind of war, I shall be confident. Because the Lord is my light and my salvation. Because the Lord is my deliverer and my security. Now say this. Say, this is my desire, O Lord, that I will love your word and that you will fill me with the knowledge of you. I pray that you will give me spiritual wisdom and understanding so that I may grow in the knowledge of God, that my heart will be flooded with light so that I may understand your wonderful promises. Now declare loud, say, the Lord will conceal me when there is trouble. He will hide me in his sanctuary. He will place me out of reach on a rock so that the power of the enemy will never reach me. He said, I constantly rejoice in the presence of the Lord and I will never be cast down. Say, I declare of the Lord, he alone is my refuge. He alone is my place of safety. He alone is my trust in. He will rescue me from every trap and protect me from every disease. Declare it loud. Say, God rescues me from every trap, from every accident, from every disease, from every accidental discharge of somebody's gun. I'm telling you, it's very important. These are our realities. Do you get my point? Of today. So God protects me from the gunshots that are fired by day, or the ones that are fired by night, the ones that they are shooting somewhere else. Look, this is not a joke. One day, they came and approached me and said, a young boy died. What happened? When they told me the story, I said, it's a gunshot. There was no breaking into the house. The boy was 11 years old. No breaking to the house. He was in a room. He just shouted at night. The mother rushed there. Blood was gushing from his neck. I said, this boy died from a falling bullet. I had arguments with people. The problem was I did an autopsy on him, but if you know about autopsies, it's difficult to find a bullet, except you take the course for x-ray. So we couldn't locate where to do x-ray. Finally, the person who came, one of my students, came and said, they went back to the house and saw a hole through the roof. Did you hear what I said? A hole fell through the roof. A bullet fell through the roof. Was an airplane going overhead and shooting? No. There was a time the Air Force were doing some exercises. As part of it, they probably fire into the air. I told people, falling bullets kill. It's banned in many states in America. You don't shoot into the air. My friend went for a wedding in Asaba here. All right? As everybody was feeling happy. Now, big people. So they had one Mopo man there who felt happy and shot into the air to hail the couple. The bullet dropping from his bullet killed the chief bridesmaid. It was in the papers. I'm not joking. The crowd wanted to lynch the man. I said, oh, they don't understand. He didn't shoot the girl. He fired into the air. He said, have respect unto the covenant, O God, because the dark places of the earth are filled with the habitations of cruelty. Listen, life is dangerous. Without God, you're in trouble. The young boy was sleeping at home, 2 a.m. A bullet fell through the roof because some Air Force people were doing military exercise. So what we are saying is real. I'm telling you. I told you, one day you just told me the story. I said the boy died from a falling bullet. They went to the house and looked. Right above the bed where he was lying down, they saw the hole through the ceiling and through the distance. In Enugu here. In Enugu here. Another story that happened in America. The Lord is good. I said, the Lord is good. So declare that God will rescue me from every danger. Say, I am protected by his wings. Say, I have made the Most High my shelter. Therefore, no evil will conquer me. No plague will come near my dwelling place. For he orders his angels to protect me wherever I go. They will keep me with care, and I will not be injured. So the Lord will rescue me because I love him. He will protect me because I trust in his name. He will answer me when I call, and he will be with me in the time of trouble. He will rescue me and honor me. He will satisfy me with long life and give me his deliverance, his healing, and his prosperity in the name of Jesus Christ. Let me tell you something here. This is very important. Life is spiritual. Your words, you know what they are? I've explained it before. If you're always doing evil and people are always saying, God punish you, this God punish you, what's happening is that when the demon of death will arise, you know what he will do? He will look for it's called the sword of the spirit. I don't know. I'm telling you, words is the sword of the spirit. The devil will look for it. Say, how many God punish yous does he have? They will look for it. They will be short arrows. There's somebody say, I saw one long sword because of one great evil he did, and words were spoken against him. The demon of death will draw that sword and attack the man. There was a story somebody told me about one young guy, talented Christian man. Then one day he died suddenly. And they phoned one girl. So-and-so person is dead. She sent her a text. And she hissed. I said, I knew he wouldn't live long. Why? Because one day, he tricked the girl into a corner and raped her. And the girl said to him, this is, if you do this to any other person again, you won't live. A few months down the line, he died. And when she got the text, she just hissed and said, I knew he wouldn't live long. And dropped the phone. Don't go around doing wickedness, so. Are you getting what I'm saying? It's very, very, it's crucial. But that's not my message. My message is for you that's walking in righteousness. You know the words that God uses, that the angels of God use on your behalf are words like this that you are speaking. It's not every time you just sit down, somebody is teaching you and you are imbibing principles and doctrines. No. There are times you have to get up and speak. Do you get what I'm saying? The words that you release, okay? The Bible says that the angels hearken unto the voice of God's word. It didn't say when God alone is speaking. His word, wherever it's coming from, they hearken. That's why I tell you all the time, when you get home, don't forget. Peace be upon this home. Do you understand? When you are greeting your father tomorrow morning, the good morning is not just a greeting anymore. It's a prophecy. Say, good morning. It's a good day, daddy, today. He doesn't know you are praying for him. Are you getting my point? Anytime issues come up, respond with a word that the angels can take and fight with. Jobs have been disappearing. Say, hey, now, wow. The self-world is going on by 1st of November. They just want to kill us. Come on, man. You're dead. They will succeed in killing you. If you say that. When I read such things, I say, look, let the fuel, you know, remember what I said all the time? Price can go up, but I'm not going down too. Two of us are going up. It's who is going up faster that's the issue. And believe me, I am going up faster than price. What did you say? Oh, thanks for praying for me. What did you say? Answer me again. Inflation cannot inflate faster than I'm inflating in God. Are you getting what I'm saying? Listen, I am better than inflation. Greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. That's how you respond, not you buy paper. Where's the paper? Which day? 1st of November. Bring it, bring it. He. My God. What did man go do? The devil said, thank you very much. You have not said it though. What did you say? We can't do anything. God, he takes it from you. You can't do anything. But there's one advantage you have as a believer. Anytime you repent, all right, and you confess, the sword is taken away from his hand, he's crippled. It's the words that you spoke. Are you getting my point? So all the yama we don't talk before, as a, in quote, prophet of God, let me declare to you, you are forgiven. All the negative words that came out of your mouth, because anyone coming from elsewhere is not potent against you if you are washed by the blood of Jesus. So anyone that came out of your mouth before now, I forgive you in Jesus' name. Yeah. You know, they came to Jesus Christ. He looked at him and he said, your sins are forgiven. In the same manner, all your sins of nonsense talk, they are forgiven in Jesus' name. Yeah. From now on, the words that you are speaking from today, the good ones you spoke from yesterday is still here. It hasn't gone. Yeah. All right? The positive ones you speak from today, we add all of them together. In Jesus' name, they will do you good. Yeah. They will do you good. I declare once again that you will grow up faster than inflation is growing up in the name of Jesus Christ. Because you are the child of God, and he said, he that is from above is above all. I declare that you are greater than economic woes in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. That's what you will respond with every time. When there are issues, you open your mouth. I don't, anybody can go to advice. No, that's nothing. If you don't change your mind, all the time that Job was suffering, what were they asking for? Talk something, we're not correct. And when Job maintained the correct talk, then one day, after just less than a year, he came out of his adversity and he worked stronger still. That's why we did what we are doing, what we did today, and we'll continue to do it. Alright? Every time, speak words. God needs those words, please. You wake up in the morning, declare, it's a good today, it's a good day today. Goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. I will not die, but I will live. I will not age anyhow. I will grow up with grace like Caleb. When I'm 80, I'll be as strong as I was when I was 40 in the name of Jesus, which is just as good as when I was 30. Amen. I retain. I'm telling you. You know, you'll be saying things. Like they say, your eyes will get weak and your bones will weaken. Yeah, in Jesus' name, that's not your portion. In Jesus' name, that's not your portion. Believe me, you can retain your strength of your youth into old age. Those of you who go and do small martial arts, so that by then you are 80, you still be kicking, you know? Raise your leg, you do full stretch, hit the ceiling. They won't believe it. But I'm telling you, that's the plan of God for your life and my life. Listen, one day you visit me, maybe my 80th birthday. When you get to my house, say, where is he? He's downstairs, he's in the gym. You get there. Hey, how you doing? How are your grandchildren? Say they are fine, Pastor. I'm telling you, I'll be there carrying my weight. When I finish, I'll carry my towel, wipe my face. What's happening this morning? So we have a few meetings. I hope the pilot is waiting. We have to get down there before evening. We have a few meetings. And the guy talking to you is 8. Listen, when I'm 80, somebody will think I'm 55. I'm prophesying it from now. You see one old man that say, hey, how are you? How is everything all right? 80. Abba. Robert Mugabe, how old is he? Hey, Mugabe is 85. Shaking the whole world like that. Abba. I like that man for that, you know. That is the fact that he's 85 and making America notice him. I love him. Still goes on his parade. The guy is not planning to die now, man. Forget it. You guys can't kill him. He didn't kill Ian Smith. You guys can't kill him. When you wake up in the morning, speak to your head, your eyes, your nose, your mouth, your neck, the whole part of you. Talk to your feet. These feet, you will carry me into prosperity today. You will carry me rapidly away from the sight of evil. Hear ye the word of the Lord. You will cooperate in my life growing up. The path of the just, you are the one that walks on the path. So the path of the just, walk on the correct path. You speak to the legs. If you have a small pain in your back, don't say, hey, I wonder what it is. Tell it what it is not. Tell it what it is. You see, find pain there, say, you pain, you're on your way out. That, tell it what it is. Not say, I wonder what's wrong. Is Dr. Susan so around? Let me check whether he'll be able to tell me what it is. He does not know what it is. You are the one that will decide what it is. You see, I felt a small lump in my breast. I hope it's not cancer. What kind of rubbish is that? Tell it is not. I mean, and he will hear you and vanish. Don't know they have ears. Yeah, I think my heart is not normal. The way it's beating these days. Let me give you a testimony a man gave once. So he was going on the road and his tire went flat. If I should communicate with him tomorrow. It's about 61 now. His tire went flat. What did I say? His tire went flat. And they say, your tire. He said, he quickly reasoned that I don't have a spare. So he spoke to the tire. Get up! And the tire went, no, this is not a joke, literally. The tire inflated back again and they kept on driving. It's not this day of tubeless. It was the days of tube. You know, once tube leak like this, you're on your own. It just goes down like, you know, like Satan from heaven. Sure, cast down onto the earth, sharp, sharp. That was what happened. The tire just went down. Your tire. The man said, we tire. Tire, my friend, will you get off from there? No, he felt the car straightened again and he kept going. He was kind of secretary in the car. When they got to the office, the woman came down, knelt down beside the car, and gave her life to Christ. No, I hope you are getting what I'm saying. So, look, these things are real. So, please, when issues come up, watch how you respond. He said, they are kidnapping your nature. Hey, I'm in trouble. I can't go to my business again. When you wake up in the morning, say, kidnappers go to sleep and won't pass. And those of you who want to die early, don't go to sleep. Let it be constant way that you talk. Believe me, God needs these things. And so let's stop playing the victim. And they are ganging up against us. Listen to me. Let me hear this. Everyone that gangs up against me will die because of me. Look, that kind of thing. If you come against me alone, I will forgive you. I have a way of praying. Say, God, okay, room for repentance, 24 hours. After that, arise, O Lord. Let the wicked souls be scattered. Now, you are getting what I'm saying? Stop behaving as if you're in trouble. You're not in trouble. The people who are on your side, they are more than those who are not on your side. I hope you've gotten what I've said. So every situation in life, you respond with a word. The word of God. What is it? I said, this lump in my neck, what it is? Tell it what it is, since you don't know it. You know what happened? God brought everything to Adam and said, give them names. So tell that one that, you are a lump that is going down. That's your name. So, you know what starts happening? They say, okay, now we have acquired a name and we shall live according to our name. So, we start going down. And the doctor be sticking needle into your neck anyhow. It's not safe. The Lord is good. I said the Lord is good. Have we learned anything today? All right, let's just leave this one here. But before we go, I just want to just declare, say, in the name of Jesus Christ, may God's peace be upon this land. In the name of Jesus, we pronounce security upon Enugu State. If you are from Anambra State, let me just give you a minute, or any state you are from. Okay, let's take about 30 seconds to do that. Send the same blessing to your state, your home state. Your parents are there, your cousins are there, your brothers are there, the people that you love, they are there. All right? Uproot all evildoer that makes people live in insecurity. Ask for the mercy of God upon that land. In Jesus' name. I declare that it shall be well with Nigeria in the name of Jesus Christ. Yeah. Under 17 World Cup, we start in Nigeria when? On the 24th this month, just a few days away. I don't watch football. I don't care much about football. But I want Nigeria to look good. Are you getting my point? So, please, everybody, just bow down your heads for a moment. I want to pray a prayer. Father God, have mercy upon every official that wants to cripple this thing. All right? Our prayer, Father, is that this hosting will be successful in the name of Jesus Christ. The stadia will not experience power failure. None of the visiting teams will be attacked by any hoodlum. Safety will be theirs as long as they are in this nation. Lord, everyone, those of us gathered here, we are your children, we are Nigerians. We ask that the image of this nation will not be tarnished in any way by this hosting in the name of Jesus Christ. As they transport from one city to another, Lord, they will have a smooth ride. No plane will crash. No airport will malfunction. Light power will be available everywhere our visitors are in the name of Jesus Christ. Lord, we declare that nobody visiting, either he's a member of a team, official of a team, or even just a tourist, or just a supporter visiting this our nation, nobody will have any regrets in the name of Jesus Christ. Lord, we say the spirit of corruption, the spirit of evil, the spirit of selfishness that make our people behave anyhow, normally, we cast that spirit, we suspend it throughout this period of these festivities, of these activities, of this FIFA event. Lord, let glory, you know, Jesus used to pray, say, glorify thy son. Lord, we ask, glorify this nation because of us in the name of Jesus Christ. Lord, every event will go smoothly. If they say it is starting by 1 second after 4, it will have started in the name of Jesus Christ. Lord, it will not happen that they say the people wanted to the link internet, other broadband or their satellite for transmission of these signals. They say because it's coming from Nigeria, they didn't work. Even the people want to prove us wrong, scatter them in the name of Jesus Christ. Lord, let success be upon this thing that we have agreed to host. Lord, let success be upon this hosting. One day Nigeria will bid to host the Senior World Cup. Lord, let this be a reference that they will say, they did it then, they can do it again. Lord, the time will come that we will be to hold the Senior World Cup. Let this event, Father, we are asking, let it be a reference that people will say, if they could do that one then, we know they can do this one. Let that be our testimony, Lord, in the name of Jesus Christ. Supply resources, supply manpower. My brethren, I ask you in the name of Jesus, those of you who love football and have the time, if they ask for volunteers, volunteer. If they offer money, refuse it. I'm asking you, there's a request I'm asking. If they ask for volunteers, volunteer. If they offer money, say, Pastor Banky said I should not take, that this is my sacrifice. Are you hearing what I'm saying? It's okay, how much do you want? They say, no, we don't want money. If they insist that, okay, this, look, give the money out as an offering to somebody. Do you get my point? If it's very, look, this is important to us. Nigeria is our country. We have no other one. On this earth, God has planted us here. The only other country we have is the one from above. And the one from above sent us as ambassadors into this one. Are you getting what I'm saying? And we must cause good to happen in this land. Therefore, we declare upon Nigeria 2009 under 70 World Cup. Success is yours in Jesus' name. May the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the sweet fellowship of Holy Spirit be with us all now and forevermore. Amen. Cheer up, brethren. The word works.